therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That's exactly what the Lord said in our reading, Matthew 19 and in verse 6. When God joins things together, let not man put asunder. Man has no right to separate what God has joined. Cannot, must not be done. In Matthew 19, the Pharisees have come to the Lord tempting him, asking him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? That's the subject of the context. Divorce, putting away one's wife. He answered and said to them, have ye not read? Referring them back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 2. Our questions can be answered if we'll only read. Have you not read? He which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. But therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That gives us our first point. God has joined husband and wife. That's a serious thing. When a man and a woman get married, that's not something to be looked upon lightly. God joins the husband and the wife. Let not man put asunder. Marriage was instituted by God at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. As he instituted it, he regulates it. He has a law in place concerning it. That is male and female. One man for one woman for life. God joins them together, not to be put asunder. It's a lifelong commitment. Permanent. Romans chapter 7. Paul talked about that in verses 2 and 3. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth, lifelong. God hates putting away. Malachi 2:16. Thus we must hate it as well. Husband and wife are joined together by God. And the only way the husband and wife can break that marriage bond is death. If your spouse dies, Romans 7 verse 3, we've been given right by God through His Word to remarry. And except it be for fornication, Matthew 19. And in verse 9, when the Lord said, in response to the Pharisees, when they said, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. From the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, that's what we're wanting to know. What does the Lord say about it? Here's what he says. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. To put asunder what God has joined together for any other reason is sin, and we cannot do it. Husband and wife, God joins them together. Let not man put asunder. Christ and the church are joined together by God. Let not man put asunder. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ and the church are joined together. He died for it. He gave himself for it. And individuals today try to separate Christ and the church. It can't be done. They've been joined together by God. They'll say the church isn't important, just give me Christ. I just want Christ without the church. It can't be done. They're joined together. We have no right to separate. It doesn't work that way. In Acts chapter 8, you remember in verse 1, when Saul was consenting to Stephen's death, and at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And in chapter 9, verse 1, we learn Saul was a great leader in that persecution, as he, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And in verse 4, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, what did the Lord say? Why persecutest thou the church? That's not what he said. Why persecutest thou me? He said. You see, when persecution went against the church, it was the same thing as persecution against Christ. It joins them together, doesn't it? Persecution against the church is persecution against Christ. Persecution against Christ is persecution against the church. They're joined together. They cannot be separated. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. These are folks who are in Christ. Saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And we learn that these who were in Christ were also in the kingdom. Verse 13, translated into the kingdom. And they were in the body. Verse 22, which is the church, verse 18 and 24. So we learn from that, that to be in Christ is the same thing as being in the kingdom and the body in the church. And we're pointing out the connection between Christ and the church. To be in Christ is the same thing as to be in the church. To be in the church is to be in Christ. They're joined. You can't be outside of Christ and in the church, or outside of the church and in Christ. They're joined together. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 12. Again, Paul writing to faithful in Christ Jesus. And in verses 12 and 13, he pens that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There are two different times contrasted in these two verses. That at that time, verse 12, and now in Christ. Two different times. They're contrasted. At that time, evidently, was before they were in Christ, because now they are in Christ. Now in Christ. Before that, at that time. And at that time, notice, ye were without Christ. But now in Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We learn from that to be outside of Christ is to be without Christ. And we've learned to be in Christ is the same thing as being in the church. And since being in Christ Jesus is the same thing as being in the church, and being outside of Christ Jesus is the same as being outside of the church, if you're outside of Christ, you're without Christ, that means outside of the church, you're without Christ. They're joined together. You can't have one or the other. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, we learn that Christ is the Savior of the body, the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We've learned that the body is the church. Colossians 1, 18, verse 24, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. There's one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4. There's one church. Since Christ is the Savior of the body, the church, that tells us that he's the Savior of only a certain amount of people, a certain few. That's the church, his body. What if I'm not in the church? I'm not a part of his body. I don't have the Savior. You see, you can't have Christ the Savior without the church. They're joined together. They can't be separated. For the church contains the saved, Acts 2, verse 47. When the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What if I say, I just want Christ without the church? I'm not going to be saved. And we further see their connection and they're joined together through baptism. For baptism puts one into the church, the body, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, as well as into Christ, Galatians 3, 27. God is joined together, Christ and the church. You can't separate them. But God also is joined together works and faith. Some seek to separate these two, separate works from faith. We're saved by faith alone without works. We can't do it because God has joined works and faith together. Let not man put asunder. In the book of James, chapter 2, these are tied together, joined together in God's word. In verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? No. That's the implied answer. No. Faith without works cannot save. goes on to give an illustration that illustrates and shows faith without works is no profit. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone, verse 17. Faith without works is dead, verse 20. He gives an example. Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Faith is only made perfect when it's joined with works. Faith without works is not made perfect. It's dead. It's of no profit. You see, they're joined together. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11, you read of Abraham in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? Obeyed. He obeyed. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He obeyed. All these died in faith. Verse 13, these all died in faith. How could that be said? Why did they die in faith? Because of what they did. If they weren't obedient, they didn't do, they didn't have the works, they wouldn't have died in faith. Noah's a good example. By faith Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis 6, verse 22. Works and faith have been joined together by God. They cannot be separated. Something else God has joined together is sin and death. Sin and death. You can't separate them. They go together. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6, 23. Sin bringeth forth death. James 1, verse 15. That's why in Ephesians 2 and in verse 1, before the Ephesians were made alive in Christ, they were dead in trespasses and sins. Sin and death go together. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. They go together. They can't be separated. And death is a separation. That's what it means. Physical death simply means a separation from the spirit from the body. The body, the dust, returns to the earth from which it came, and the spirit returns unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. That's what physical death is. It's a separation from the spirit and the body. The spirit lives on. And sin brings spiritual separation, spiritual death. Our sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. We learn from that if we're in sin, all of sin, Romans 3, 23, and when we're in sin and that separating factor, sin, hasn't been dealt with and removed, we're separated from God. And if we die in that state, we die in our sins, we're going to be separated from the Lord for eternity. That's what the Lord taught, John 8, 21 and 24. When we die in our sins, we cannot go where He went. We're separated from Him. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 to 9. If we die in our sin, or the Lord returns and we're in our sin, in that state, that sin is separating us from God, and the Lord returns and we're in that state, we don't know Him, we've not obeyed the gospel, we're going to receive everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. Eternal separation from the Lord, from His glory. Spiritual death, known as the second death. Revelation 21, verse 8. And we can only have life by being made alive in Christ, Ephesians chapter 2, through the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1, verse 16. And then finally, God has joined together belief and baptism. The Lord did that in Mark 16 and in verse 16. People are trying to separate the two, but they can't be separated. You know why? Because God has joined them together. He did that in Mark 16. When in verse 15 He said to the apostles, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That "and" is a joining word. It couples them together, joins the two together, baptism and belief. Belief and baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And folks are trying to separate the two, put asunder belief and baptism. You don't have to be baptized. All you got to do is believe. That's not what the Bible teaches. It can't be done. Let not man put asunder. God has joined them together. Two subjects being talked about in this verse, salvation and damnation. You want to be saved? Here's what you must do. Believe and be baptized. You want to be damned? All you got to do is don't believe. The unbeliever is condemned already. John 3, verse 18. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And God joined belief and baptism. And when it comes to salvation, God has joined several things in His Word to salvation. And in order to be saved, we must do all that He tells us to do in order to be saved. We can't separate any one of those and expect to be saved. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. In order to be saved, you must hear His Word. You've heard it this afternoon. Do you believe it? You must believe it, lest you die in your sins. John 8, 24, the Lord said. Repent of your sin, as God commands all men everywhere. Acts 17, 30. Confess the Lord before men. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8, 37. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And be faithful unto death. Revelation 2, verse 10. Maybe you've done that, but there's sin in your life. Though you've obeyed the gospel in times past, if you have sinned and you haven't done what God says you must do in order to correct that and get your life right with God, that sin separates you from God. And if you die in that state in your sin, you're going to be eternally separated from God. Though you obeyed the gospel once, like Simon was told, he obeyed the gospel, but he was in danger of perishing. Thy money perish with thee. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Is that you? If you sinned, remove that separating factor by repenting of your sin, praying to God for forgiveness, and confessing your sin. Acts 8:22, 1 John 1:9. There's power in the blood. Come forward now. Together we stand and sing.